Good morning and welcome. Another day in paradise, 8:07. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and Vladimir Putin is hot under the collar. Yep, lowering the threshold to use nukes. This in response to the missiles that we have given to Ukraine that can strike inside of Russian territory. And the missile attack, apparently a missile attack has taken place. According to the Sun out of United Kingdom, Ukraine has fired its first long-range missile at Russia, striking a border region inside the country, it has claimed. The missile attack by Ukrainian armed forces struck a military facility. It was still near the border, but it was inside the Russian border. And this was right before Putin gave the green light for a fresh nuke doctrine, threatening to use nuclear weapons against the West if Ukraine were to fire long-range missiles. The attack occurred overnight before reports surfaced this morning of Russia's nuclear doctrine shift. What's the next move? We'll watch and wait. Hopefully it's Trump using back channels to talk to both Zelensky and Putin, trying to get him to cool it. Can he hang in there till January 20th? We'll have a real sit down, a real powwow, and see if we can't hammer something out. Because you got 1 to 1.5 million dead soldiers. We've got a lot of money spent, a lot of money wasted, a lot of damage done.
Don't make it worse.
And don't make it worse in terms of escalation, because Putin is in charge of the largest nuclear arsenal on the planet, people.
That's important.
All right. What else do we have going on? You've got some picks here. A former congressman from Wisconsin, Representative Sean Duffy, is going to be, he's the pick for Secretary of Transportation. You've got the press secretary. That is supposed to be Caroline Leavitt, who worked hard for the Trump campaign. And so she's probably positioned well for that, I would think. And then you've got Marco Rubio, as you know, going to be Secretary of State. The next big move will come from Governor DeSantis, because he'll have to pick who's going to take Rubio's place. And he's one of the things he said, amongst many things, actually, is this person must be strong on immigration and border security.
Makes sense.
Take on the entrenched bureaucracy and administrative state, reverse the nation's fiscal decline, animated by conservative principles, a proven track record of results, etc. So that's that. And then you've got the one that leaves people kind of twitching a little bit. House Ethics Committee Chairman Michael Guest, a Republican out of Mississippi, signaled that his committee may still release this ethics report on former Congressman Matt Gaetz. And that goes against what Speaker Mike Johnson also was recommending. He said, you know, let's not release that because Matt Gaetz has stepped down. He stepped down after Donald Trump announced that he's nominating him for Attorney General. So he is no longer a member of the House and therefore no longer under the committee's purview. At least that was Speaker Johnson's thought. I appreciate Mike reaching out. I don't see it having an impact on what we as a committee ultimately decide. The committee meets Wednesday, where it is expected to discuss whether or not to release its report on Gaetz. What do we all want? You want the truth. Now, it's difficult to have the truth. We've seen investigations. We've heard of investigations. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Trump is hanging out with Vladimir Putin, and he's, Russia, Russia, Russia.
He's an asset.
Yeah.
So, you know, where do you find the truth that is the truth? That's going to be the tough job there. And I wish I could tell you, Matt Gaetz, my instincts were not positive toward him for various reasons. And then when these allegations come out, again, sometimes you have to take it with a grain of salt. Look, he is a rising star. He is very conservative. Is he worth going after?
Right.
From the left? Is he worth going after? And yes, I could see him being targeted.
Is he a threat to them and their ilk?
What's you know, two wrongs don't make a right, but I do have to mention this. So Eric Swalwell, a congressman who, you know, serves on a committee that
Intel.
The Intel committee is most sensitive stuff he got to see. He was hanging out with and cavorting with whatever a known Chinese spy. Now, he might not have known it, but the FBI did, and they told him about it. Next thing you know, spy flies the coop, old Fang Fang.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone.
Yep.
So I'm not, again, not saying two wrongs make a right, not diminishing what Matt Gaetz may have gotten himself into. I don't know. But it sure is interesting how Swalwell was treated one way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no big deal here. I mean, they tipped him off so he could get rid of the Chinese spy. The Chinese spy instead could have been taken into custody by the FBI, would have been questioned, but then he would have probably been in a lot more trouble. So I find all of this kind of intriguing, interesting, but again, like to know the truth. Okay, is he a bad guy or a good guy? I still haven't made that determination, but I'm going to be honest now. I am leaning a little bit toward not a good guy, and one of the reasons why is because Ben Domenech, who is, conservative, been on Fox, it doesn't automatically, make him make everything that he says truthful or whatever. He's also married to Meghan McCain. So there have been some questions about, whatever, political alliances. But the things that he said.
Oh, my goodness.
About, not just about, things that you would discuss. Well, he voted for this bill and that bill. No, no, no.
Mm-mm.
These are personal character assassinational type remarks that he's made. Things like, STDs and, 99% of Washington says, hide your... your wives, daughters, and people you care about from Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
And it goes on from there.
That's a start.
Now, again, does that mean this guy, Domenech, is, the purveyor of truth? All I can say is when you come out the way he did, and his name all over it, not anonymous, not sources say, he was right, like, in your face with this stuff. I don't know if he'll have to at some point prove some of these allegations or not, but I got to tell you, it's not a pretty picture, and we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see. So, I'm in favor of the committee report coming out, but again, that doesn't mean that it's 100% the truth, 100% accurate. We have to look at that as well, but... If you're going to look at the position that he's looking at, that's pretty important. Attorney General?
Yeah.
If you're in gray areas already in your own behavior with the law, it might not be a good Attorney General. Just a thought.
Yep.
We've got a lot more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Sean Hannity.
We'll do the media's job.
Weekdays, 3 p.m.
Don't tell me that they're fair, balanced, and objective. You cannot control us. Go home, gutless media people.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
I'm way too sensitive for this gig. I actually listen when people say things about me.
You do?
I mean, I listen harder when it's good things, but I still listen when it's not so good.
That's true.
This is fair enough. Greg got a message and basically said, hey, tell Bob to, back off the attacks on Matt Gaetz. I mean, that's exactly what has been going on. He's being attacked. They're going after him. And so, you know what? You're right. I reserve the right to kind of put the brakes on right now. I'm going to give you, here's my assessment of Matt Gaetz, or reassessment, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, is the gut reaction. Something about him I never liked. Now, that's a personal thing. Right. He may just look like some kid I hated in high school, some snotty little brat that I had to slap around. I don't know. Or some guy that was bigger than me and slapped me around. I don't know. But, and again, it could be that simple. All right. And then you get allegations. Well, where there's smoke's not always fire, especially in the lawful or lawfare, I guess I should say, lawfare world that we live in. Clearly, I mean, I was the first to say, hey, they're going after Trump. These aren't real cases. This is all, you know, fake and doing anything they can. Is this the same thing that's going on with Gates? In all fairness, I have to say, well, very well could be. But here's where I've got to go. It's not, we're not talking about Matt Gaetz, really. I am, but I need to remember. Who's the guy that put him out there for attorney general?
Mm-hmm.
Donald J. Trump. Do I trust him? Yes. And has he been proven right so many times, over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
Look, he was the crazy kook that told everybody, hey, look, they're spying on me, man. And we're like, oh, that's a little much. You know, how can I defend him all the time? And now I'm being spied on. Oh, my God. He was so right and we were so wrong. Or I was wrong. I'll admit it. I didn't think it was impossible that that was occurring, but I thought it was unlikely. Well, now look, all that layers of onions been ripped back, man. The left will stop at nothing. They are desperate. So would they attack and undermine Matt Gaetz because he's a rising conservative, maybe a star and a future star in the party? Absolutely. But the bottom line is, I'm going to give, at this point in time right now, I'm going to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt because of his track record of being right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I don't have to explain to Donald Trump how important the position of attorney general is.
Oh,
I mean, he'd been burned by, you know, a couple of them in the past that he thought he could trust, and it didn't turn out well. So, yeah, and I know what the detractors will say. Well, yeah, Trump will put loyalty and, you know, in front of whatever, ethics, morality, behavior, whatever. Maybe, maybe not. Certainly loyalty absolutely is going to be a huge factor. But I don't know that loyalty can overcome if you've got... Look, you know, there's not a bunch of saints up there in D.C. And again,
right,
that doesn't, you know, that's not an okay for the behavior. But if you're getting near that age thing, I think that's a sensitivity for a lot of us, especially those of us, you know, that are parents. You know, that's why the Monica thing was so bad. It wasn't,
right.
Oh, yeah, the president had a little, you know, fling, you know, yeah. Well, big leaders have done that all throughout history. Again, not necessarily good or condoning it. It's not good, but it happens. But it was Monica. Clearly, she was young and impressionable. And so it was a different kind of a, you know, a relationship. And so you think of Matt Gaetz. Is he, what's his thing for the young, you know, it's one thing when you like them younger. I mean, I think Kevin Costner, didn't he marry young, you know, a young woman, people in Hollywood, whatever.
All the time.
I didn't make him, you know, pedophile or weirdo. But, you know, but you're getting around that age where they're like just turned 18 or something. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel right. But again, I'm going to rely on Donald Trump. I'm going to rely on him and his decision and hope that he knows what he's doing. And his track record shows he generally does.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for the kind of the heads up. And it's I listen. I don't always react. And I could just say, well, I disagree.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do.
But in this case, I want to say, okay.
Yeah.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt based on Donald Trump's word.
Well, and in days prior, you have covered, I think, pretty extensively the possibility that just like the fake charges on Donald Trump, this could just be a smear campaign. You've got into that pretty in depth. So I think people, if they don't listen all the time and they don't get to hear everything, they should not make a judgment based on one sentence or one day.
Yeah, and I don't know that it was a judgment per se, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, if you do a talk show 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, you're going to say some things that are going to irritate people no matter what. You're going to hear some things that are never going to be in its fullest context because it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for every time that if I bring up Matt Gaetz's name, I go through the whole idea that, well, it could be a witch hunt. He could be targeted much like this, this, and this. Or it could be, I don't always have time to break it down to that degree. And frankly, people get bored with that. And that's why, you know, hit and run, make our case.
Yep.
People think for themselves and decide. When we get more different information, we just continue to share. Because once again, I have to say, we want to search for the truth. And it's not easy these days, and I've said that before. All right. Oh, I love this.
Uh-oh.
Leftists have a master plan to ensure that President-elect Donald Trump's economy tanks. They're not going to buy anything.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not going to buy anything.
All right.
Yeah. Boycott everything. Yeah. They're going to load up on supplies by January 20th. So everything will be empty. There'll be nothing to buy.
Wow. Okay.
And then on January 20th and henceforth, the lefties who take this pledge will not spend any money.
Wow.
They will walk to work.
Okay.
They will eat the canned goods that they've accumulated.
They're all going to buy in November and December.
And even January up to
inauguration day. Okay.
And then
they're
not going to buy anything.
Okay.
Which is good, by the way, because the rules of supply and demand mean, yeah baby, we're going to get some deals. Woohoo! Do you believe that? They're like, let's make his economy really bad.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you'll be saying, hey, Biden's going to start World War III just so he can leave a mess. Wait a second.
Yeah,
that's a little too close to what's really going on. And if you haven't heard, I will share that information with you coming up next on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. Thank you for listening to 97.3 The Sky. Download the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcasts. Click on subscribe.
From way over there.
Allowing Ukraine to use American missiles inside Russia.
The world's on fire right now.
To right here.
We have to get back to a great country.
We have an incredible once-in-a-generation opportunity.
And just down your street.
Safety.
And this is about infrastructure.
One weed company wrote it.
Touchdown, Gators!
97.3 The Sky has your world right here.
It blows my mind.
Hear about it first.
The Democrats, the Republicans.
Isn't it nice to win?
Talk about it now.
Tells me everything I need to know.
The Sky has it right.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Good morning. Welcome. Trash Talking Tuesday continues thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 8:35. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, I got your code word. Yep. You want to win tickets for Rock the Country, We the People? You got Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence. This is going to be a huge event. 2 days in Ocala, May 9th and 10th. Here's what you need to do. Text KID, K-I-D, KID, to 20357. Do that now. Date and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. We'll have another code word for you tomorrow, I do believe. So good luck on that. That's going to be a good time. What's up with the Pentagon? Yeah, I thought that they couldn't account for $824 billion. I thought that was a little high. My apologies. $824 billion is their budget. Yes, over three-quarters of $1 trillion. Getting real close to $1 trillion. But this audit, they have failed its seventh audit in a row. The auditors could not obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence to support an opinion. The audit performed by independent public accounting firms looked at 27 different DOD components. In the statement, the Pentagon Inspector General Robert Storch said that there has been little progress since 2005, almost 20 years ago, which makes you wonder, is this a portion of the giant kind of money laundering machine? Where is all the money? Why isn't it all accountable? And out of that, how much of it is going to our clandestine operations? How much of it is going to one of our, 17 secret organizations that we have, like, the CIA, NSA? I know they don't have to account for the expenditures per se. Can they even list the amounts that are used? Why can't you get a good audit? Although the DOD made some progress in improving financial management during the fiscal year 2024 financial statement audits, many of its identified weaknesses have been improved since 2005. Look, I have friends that have done contractual work for the Department of Defense. Now, these are minuscule compared to these overall expenditures, but a contract is a contract. And they have contracting officers. And they follow up on the work that was done, how the money was spent. And I mean, when I say how the money was spent, you got to break it down. Oh, yeah, you've got your, you know, your overhead costs or whatever. You've got your labor costs. They track that very carefully. All of that is broken down within these contracts, individual contracts. No matter how large they are, it's still the same protocol, still the same mechanism. Why? How could they fail so miserably? How could they fail their seventh audit in a row? And then what do you do? Look, here's what I can tell you. If you're a contractor, you know, doing work for the DOD, and you can't sufficiently show in an audit where the money goes, they're going to claw that money back. You're going to owe them. And then, of course, if you don't remit whatever they feel is the adequate amount, you're never going to do any contract work again. And would you think the larger the contract, the more important it is, the more they'd want to get their you know, I's dotted and T's crossed?
You would think.
Yeah, you would think. So what's really going on? Now, is this something that, you know, Elon Musk can dig into? And that would be great. And Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, they're business people, so they know, oh, hey, in business, you have the same thing, you know? You've got all your line items laid out, all your costs, all your expenditures, all your money coming in. You know, that's all. You've got to be able to reflect all of that accurately. And I know it's supposed to be that way with government work. So I'd like to know what gives. What's really going on? And again, these guys that are forming the doji, we are going to train in the doji.
Doge.
It's just doge.
Doge.
Yeah. Clearly, people that have been bean counters in the government have doged off. Got to wake them up.
Apparently so. Looks like.
Anyway, so.
Doesn't add up.
No. And look, if it's close, that's one thing.
Right.
But when they just fail the audit, that means that they just don't have enough documentation, not even turning in some of the relevant documents that they're supposed to. So cancel whatever said contracts have not followed through on their portion of this overall budget. Too much, maybe the buddy-buddy system, the good old boy system at work here, way too much of it. Well, hopefully things are fixing to change, as they like to say down here south of the Mason-Dixon.
Fixing.
The soon-to-be-formed Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, led by ex-owner Tesla CEO Elon Musk, entrepreneur and former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. They shared some examples of obscene government waste. Wait a second. I just showed you. Oh, wait a second. Maybe the monetary value doesn't get worse, but what it's going for is going to, well, you'll laugh a little bit, and then you'll be a little sickened by it.
Uh-oh.
There was a clip of Senator Rand Paul, widely known for his annual Festivus Government Waste Report, walking through some of the most shocking ways the U.S. government has wasted taxpayer dollars. One of the studies highlighted by both Paul and Doge involves seeing what makes a sunfish more aggressive. Gin or tequila?
Really?
Yes, really.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. About $100,000 went toward that project.
And that helps the world how?
We're going to weaponize sunfish. We're going to find out what makes them more aggressive. And if it's tequila, we're going to... Now, here's the great thing about sunfish and tequila. If they're saltwater sunfish, you don't have to add salt to the shot. Can I come up with a real reason? Absolutely not. It's so ridiculous. Much, no. Oh, we're not done yet. It gets even it gets a lot better. All right. Here's one. The U.S. government also spent nearly $1 million on a study to see if cocaine makes Japanese quail more sexually promiscuous.
Yeah, one in the hand's better than two in the bush.
I mean, like if you're bird hunting, right? Isn't that a... Yeah, that's a thing. $1 million. Hey, I want to do that study. You know what I mean? You know, it'd be like, yeah. The Japanese quail's over there. And I'm like, yeah, one line for you, one line for me, brother.
So strange.
I thought it was difficult to get studies done that involve like a Schedule I drug, or we could have found out a long time ago how dangerous marijuana could be. But, no, the major Schedule I, nobody wants to touch it. Nobody wants to examine it further and do tests, etc. But, well, I guess maybe because it's an animal, they right. can. Hmm. Japanese quail, more sexually promiscuous, are they, if they utilize cocaine? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It does not end there. U.S. government also spent $750,000 to determine if Neil Armstrong's famed line was actually one small step for man or one small step for a man.
Which is what they say it really was supposed to be, with the word A in it.
And
yeah,
and guess what? After spending $750,000, guess what they found out?
They don't know.
Inconclusive.
See, there you go.
Is that crazy?
It is.
$2 million spent on the construction of a kelp and shellfish nursery in Maine.
Oh, look how cute the little kelps are.
What is a kelp? Isn't it like seaweed?
It's like...
right?
This is what we're spending our money on.
Oh, Paul yeah. continued, $1.5 million to encourage video gaming in New York. Encourage it. We might be better off spending $1.5 million to discourage kids from playing video games. $388,000 for Columbia University. $249,000 for the Baltimore Symphony. Giving money to all symphonies. Hey, we all like symphonies, but the people need to support that, not via the government, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Hangman, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Good morning. In the contractual kind of stuff in the government, especially in the military, I witness it myself. I can't remember that one major contractor in Iraq, but, man, they have a contract. They have to spend the money. They pay for certain things. And I saw this and witnessed it myself. To get the next fiscal budget money, they had to purchase, you know, items that were supposedly in the contract. Well, they purchased like hundreds of computers, you know, just to spend the money so they can get the next fiscal money.
Well, yeah. Okay, now we're getting into sort of the rules of budgeting and stuff, which is different than contractual. You work under the guise of a contract is different, and most of your government stuff is via government contract. So, yeah, there's all kinds of rules and limitations and all that stuff in there. But documentation, no, they're, at least in my and, you know, other people's experience, they're pretty tough. They want to know. If you go, yeah, it's $72 off. Yeah? Where'd that go?
Yeah.
Okay. Just keep it in mind. I need studies of, like, what would happen if you gave two talk show hosts a yacht and a Bugatti?
Ooh, let's find out.
That's what I'm saying.
Now that's a government program.
Send the money to P.O. Box.
I can get behind.
Oh, we've got plenty more to talk about on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And it is Tuesday. In fact, it's Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. Your top story, Ukraine, Russia, not good. According to some sources, Ukraine has fired its first long-range missile at Russia, striking a border region inside. inside of Russia. That's not good. For the first time ever, embattled Kyiv reportedly aimed an American-made ballistic rocket at Russian soil. Just happens to be on the 1,000th day of Putin's war on Ukraine. This is not good. This happened, what we would consider, the overnight hours, I guess. And this happened just about the same time, really, that Putin had just put out that he's going to use nuclear weapons, or at least threaten he could use nuclear weapons against the West if Ukraine were to fire long-range missiles. It's almost like, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
Except, I don't like to use it that way, but, they call it like a bang, bang play. It's like bang, bang. Is that he said it almost the same time they were launching, I guess. This is not good. It looks like, Biden wants to leave this scorched earth legacy.
Yeah.
He was laughing when Kamala lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all smiles when Trump came in. But maybe that was that old, buddy boy, wait till you see what I got planned for you. Yeah. On day one, you're going to come in here and this place is going to be a mess. And you're going to be up to your eyeballs in geopolitical garbage. Yeah. Not good. Not good. On a lighter note, maybe this time around, the media will be reasonable toward Melania Trump, the first lady. They treated her in a disgustingly rude and nasty fashion the last go around. Perhaps they've seen the error of their ways. It's not like she's never been on a magazine cover before, I mean, can you imagine? Hey, we could put Hillary on the cover.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and we could change the name of our magazine to Gag Me With a Pitchfork. Yeah. Or you could put somebody who actually was so good at looking good, she was paid big money for it. A professional model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's ignore her.
Though, and an intelligent one who speaks several languages.
Yeah.
Oh, but she's married to that nasty orange Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That guy.
The people have spoken. The people are doing Trumpy dances everywhere.
They really are.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I broke out Trumpy Bear for a little get-together that we had. What was that, last Friday?
Yeah.
A little get-together?
I hadn't heard about him in a while.
Trumpy Bear, yeah. Well, he was in my closet, He just got to make room. Can't have him all the time. It's not special if Trumpy Bear's there all the time.
That's true. I get it.
So break him out for the holiday season.
Yeah.
Good times are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Trumpy Bear's back. But people are dancing the Trumpy dance.
Love it.
And will the folks in the media will they start to come around to this? Some will. I think it'll be a small amount. Some will start to get it a little bit. The actual talking heads, though, if they're like located in Atlanta or Los Angeles, this whole bi-coastal, this way of thinking, the Manhattan cocktail parties, all that, they're ensconced in their own little world. Well, they really don't. I mean, remember, it's like when you live there in New York City, and it's sort of like, it's not like you just get in your car and like go to the beach. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you're there. You're there. Now, you think it's the center of the universe, so maybe you don't mind being there. But you never talk to anybody, any real normal people. And you get quickly develop this attitude, especially among some of them. And I'm talking about the elitist left. They don't want to talk to the janitor. But that would be the closest thing they'd get to like a regular American.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have a conversation with them. What could they possibly teach me with my Ivy League degree? Probably a lot. Well, for one, they could teach you what it's like for people to live paycheck to paycheck and to constantly be striving just to keep your head above water. Yeah.
Maybe that's why Donald Trump always got complimented for knowing the doorman, his name, his kids' names, those kind of things. He talked to real people.
And I got to tell you, when you're able to do that, I think that's a bit of a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's hard not to get wrapped up totally in your own world, and you can't, identify with people that live such a radically different lifestyle. It'd be like going to Zimbabwe and having a conversation with somebody who wishes the town had a cow. Yeah. What do you say to them? Hey, how about those Mets? 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.